Blog Talk Radio.
Scott Enstra Network.
Welcome to Tuesday. So I'm going to be continuing on my Tuesday and Thursday, but this Thursday, of course, we've got New Year's coming up. So just like last week, we had the Christmas, and once we get that out of the way, then I'll be doing the Tuesday, Thursdays. And of course, Julie will be on with me tomorrow, and I really encourage everyone to tune in. I'm going to be bringing up some points about Babylon, and she's going to be filling in the gaps. We're going to do a little 1-2 punch. We're going to go from Babylon up through today's church and why things are the way that they are. Now, tonight I'm going to be talking about talking to the dead church. It really gets old. Over the holiday, I had the opportunity to talk to someone about some issues. And some of the old beliefs of pre-trib and the others are still solid in a lot of beliefs of Christians. And I want everyone to understand that the dispensation Zionist agenda was to keep Christians in bondage for the last days. If you are given a firearm and you have no bullets, the firearm is worthless except for maybe close hand-to-hand combat, you could use it as a weapon. Without bullets, it's absolutely useless. Now, I want to point out, you know, I've got a lot here, and I'm just going to go through it. And I don't want to miss anything, because I'm only going to be on about an hour, so I promised someone tonight that I would pray for their cat to see if we can get a demon out of it. That is, the cat is misbehaving by biting people. And obviously we can't have that, so I'll see what I can do. It's still a cat. Cats are cats. But I have seen animals, like horses especially, that do have, you know, cantankerous spirits. And since an animal is an under ownership of the owner, of humans, that we've been given, you know, control over them, and that the animal, by legal right, belongs to them, demons have to obey that command that the owners have that legal right to the animal, and the demons do not. So the animal in itself can be demonized, and in a sense, since it's not able to be saved, that it would be possessed. But the problem with that is that demons come and go out of animals. I call it time sharing. I call it, you know, the ability to leave the animal and come back. And I think that's the case tonight. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to approach it that the spirit is not in there all the time. That wherever it goes, apparently it has a connection to where the cat came from. The cat was kind of passed off onto this individual. And so who knows what the history is. Could have come from a witch, could have come from someone that abused it, could have come from, you know, anything of that nature. And so because of the abuse, because of the spells, the hexes, those things that were done by the occultists, that then a spirit would enter it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break whatever right or transfers that went into it and then close those doors. So when it goes out, it cannot come back. And that's how I'm going to approach it tonight. So I'm just giving you an idea, if you're running into that, that if you own an animal, you have the right to cast the demons out of that animal. Like I said, horses, for instance, I've dealt with that several times. And there was a woman who purchased a horse, and you have ownership papers when it comes to a horse. And so therefore it is under contract and under law. And so the demons, being bound to legalism, they have to obey the laws too. So what I did is I didn't do anything other than instruct the woman what to do. And I told her to claim ownership of the horse. She had the paper, she had the contract, so she was legal owner. I had her profess that, and then led her through the commanding and binding of the demon to leave. And the reason we were doing this is that the horse seemed very docile when she went to, you know, inspect it before purchasing. But when she got home, the darn thing wanted to keep pushing her up against a fence and then trying to bite her. And obviously that's not acceptable. So after we did this, I led her through this, that horse was just as friendly as when she first saw it, and the problems went away. It was that simple. You know, she was expecting some big long ceremony and throwing water and chicken bones and everything else, and sorry, that just didn't happen. The spoken word is very powerful. We've been given all power and all authority. We have Matthew 18. And we have the Great Commission, Matthew 28. And what that is telling us is that we take the place of Jesus and what those commandments are until he returns. We're to do his works. We're to do his commandments. We're bondservants. We're to move forth to heal the sick, to set the captives free, bind up the brokenhearted, make disciples of all men, preach the gospel, and to claim liberty. We're to say, hey, you know, Satan, the keys of death and hell were taken from you. And though this is your world, which will soon crumble, in the meantime, you know, the principalities, rulers, powers of those of the air are under our authority. And so you will abide, you will listen, you will do as we say. Now, unfortunately, the bondage of the church, talking to the dead church, if you see the picture there, the guy in a nice suit talking to a skeleton, that's exactly how I feel. And in fact, today Julie and I had a conversation regarding that in a lot of ways we're kind of burned out repeating the same thing over and over again, to especially to individuals, and having and then have them having again saying, well, where does it say that? And we're what? We're going to go through the tribulation? Oh, come on. Well, gee, does that mean you're better than the apostles? You know, John was the only survivor, but you need to remember he was boiled in oil, okay? And then soon after that, he crawled out of that pot that they had stoked up to boiling. And when he crawled out, the people who witnessed it were so amazed at the power of God because the Holy Spirit was there. They too became believers, and then he went on to Patmos, and went on to write being the Revelator, the Book of Revelation. Well, that's why, and he lived to be a ripe old age in his late 80s, 90s, died with his family. But then when we look at the other apostles, now remember they tried to kill him, but God had a plan. God had some work for him to do. And the other apostles were horribly dismantled, disemboweled, beheaded, set on fire, swords run through them. So you're better than them? You know, God's no respecter of man. So good luck with that. I'm just going to leave it at that because we've been through that. Now, the bondage of the church, meaning that, and by the way, tomorrow night, Julie's, as she gets into Babylon, and I've been telling you that the corporate ladder, the corporate structure, the pyramid, the ziggurat, these things that reflect Babylon's order, reflect the Catholic Church, reflect Judaism, is just that. And so let me just get right to it here so I can get into that. Ephesians 4:11, okay? Now, it talks about, and this is what Jesus was talking about, that there were to be apostles, okay? Well, that's you and me, okay? We're saints, we're apostles. And then there are those that are separated out that are given gifts of being prophetic, prophets. And then there are those that have it in their heart to evangelize. Okay, just like Nathan, when I went to Pine Ridge that time, that is his calling. You know, you just get out of his way and let him do his thing. And then pastors, okay, and teachers. Now, okay, if God is a God of order, and he is, God is of truth, God is of righteousness, then why in this fivefold ministry is pastors down towards the end? Not the last, but it sure isn't the first. So if God is a God of order, then how in the world is a pastor over his group? Now, everyone's going to default back to the teaching that they've had from the dead church, and they're going to say, well, they're to be the heads, you know, the protectors of the flock. You know what? You're absolutely right. So let's go over that, okay? Apostles. Now, remember, we're going in order. They are the governors. They are the one to govern, okay? You've got the body of Christ. They are the governors, okay? Then the prophets. What does the prophet do? Well, he prophesies, but he guides. He allows the Holy Spirit to lead, okay? Then evangelist. Well, he's a gatherer. He goes out, okay, just like men are supposed to be hunters and gatherers. And by that, then they go and they bring in those people in the world to come to Christ. Okay? Then you have pastors. Now, the pastor is a guard, not a leader. Okay? Not a leader. Okay? But he has in his place, because of the Babylonian order of the church, as Julie's going to be pointing out tomorrow, that this corporate structure, then the pastor has then become the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the teacher. I thought God was a God of order. Okay. So what does a pastor do? Well, he shepherds. He shepherds, okay? Now, a shepherd, what does a shepherd do? If you have somebody that is a shepherd and they fall asleep on the big rock looking over the herd, what's going to happen? The wolves, the coyotes, the badgers, the bears, you name it, they're going to come in. And by the way, look at King David. Man, he dealt with a bear and he dealt with a mountain lion. You know, then he went on to Goliath. Okay? All right? All right? So a pastor should be rolling up his sleeves and duking it out. But is he an apostle? Is he a prophet? Is he an evangelist? Is he a teacher? No. So how can we justify this corporate structure where you take a man, and by the way, let me get down here, we're not to call any man rabbi, okay? Now, again, if we take a rabbi or we take those that that put themselves as deacons, as the Pope, as cardinals, again, the Catholic Church, and we take one single individual who's corruptible, and we put them in charge, we put all of our eggs in one basket. We've put somebody who hasn't been through deliverance, who we know nothing of their past history, who have not confessed their sins before us. We don't know if they've repented. We don't know who they are, and they're up in front telling us what the Bible says. When we should be Bereans, when we should be checking the scriptures daily, when we should be testing the Spirit, when we should be walking in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, the spiritual gifts and spiritual life in 14, 1 Corinthians. Okay, if God's a God of order, then why is everything out of order in a church? Why are they teaching false doctrines, doctrines of demons, that are promoted under the Zionist agenda for pre-trib, predestination? And then as you heard the other night, or last night, with, Creflo Dollar. Wow. If you heard the beginning of the show, I'm going to mention this again. You heard a man who is a self-proclaimed pastor that his net worth by himself is $27 million, living in a multi-million dollar home. He just acquired a $65 million jet. He's been arrested for stealing money out of the tithing bowl, the dish, 15,000. By the way, my operating cost for my ministry is that. He grabs a handful in one day. I've been arrested for assaulting his daughter, battery, choking her, punching her, okay? And with his murderous heart, with his murderous spirit, okay, he says that those who will not tithe in his church, that they should be all lined up and shot. Okay, do you understand what this man has just done? He has shown his fruit. He has shown the nature of the demons that are within inside of him. Look, I'm no respecter of any man. I already know that 99% of the pastors out there are absolutely worthless when it comes to the full fivefold ministry, when it comes to setting captives free, when it comes to saying the truth, when it comes to those who are willing to humble themselves. Because you see, in order for them to humble themselves, they will have to step down and put themselves back in order of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, what that means is that there is a board of elders, and they must be approved. They must be accountable, not only to God, but to each other. And so when you have a variety of these different gifts, which are the gifts and the direction and the order of God, then that is when God works. Now, you'll notice that this Creflo guy, whatever that name means, and I'm sure that he changed his name, Dollar, so he could go with the prosperity doctrine, that he actually says that by killing your brothers and sisters in Christ and my brothers and sisters in Christ, who are probably under a curse of poverty, going through divorce, may have cancer, spent their last dime on the medication to avoid the pain, because no one's doing deliverance in the church. And by the way, the elders are to stand before the congregation, and those who need prayer, those who are sick, those who need demons cast out, and they're to go before the elders so the elders can anoint them. And again, who are the elders? They are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Comprende? All right. So when you call a man a pastor and look at him as the leader of the church, you have called him rabbi. You have put him above everybody else. He then looks down on the church from the top of the pyramid, which is the all-seeing eye of Horus, of Satan, of the Babylonian system, downward through the corporate structure of it to the very last goyim, you and me. Where's that? Oh, that's in Judaism. That goyim's you and me. See, that we're lowlifes. We're cattle. We're nobody. And you know what? Do you know how many people come into my office and call me and email me that have tried to talk to pastors, have gone to them for deliverance, have gone to them for prayer? There was a woman here that when her father died, and I'm thoroughly convinced that he came to Christ. You know, we see the parable with those who came into the field early in the morning to do the work, and then those who came late, everyone was paid the same. Okay? That parable was there to let us know that as long as you draw breath, you can still get in, but you need to repent. And so this woman's father was repenting and calling out to God. And the pastor that she had talked to said he didn't have any faith in that. He didn't put any lividity into it. I forget maybe what the exact words were. Excuse me. You would actually say that to a grieving daughter? Ouch. So where's your love? Where's your guidance? Where's your pastoral ship to protect? You're also to protect the hearts of the people within. When the devil gets a hold of your heart, that's when destruction comes in. when the devil can turn you away from the love of others, then the love of others grows cold. And we see that's what will take place in the last days. And then I find out that this church has Masonic symbols, you know, the compass and the G for the Freemasons, the angle. Okay. Well, that's like two V's, one on top of each other, one pointing up, one pointing down. And those are the symbols within this church. And it's a mega church compared for this area. Okay. So they also do canned teachings. You can hear on the radio the very same teaching and then hear someone else on another program doing the same. There's a pool of teachings that go out to different churches, and they all do the same thing, which I'm sure is under the direction of the Zionists. And does it teach the truth? No. They're teaching that there's a pre-trib rapture. They're teaching that we won't go through the tribulation. They're teaching that we don't need to stand down. They're teaching that you don't need to have deliverance. And then we find out that a certain sheriff who has already been identified as a Freemason is one of the elders of this church. Surprise, surprise, surprise. People, do you understand what's going on here? The dead church was the intent of the new world order. This has been going on a very long time. The church that we see today is not the church of Antioch. This is not the church described in the book of Acts. Okay? And this is why you're in bondage. This is why you're under a curse. This is why you have a broken heart. This is why you have cancer. This is why your kids are a mess. This is why you're contemplating suicide. Because the church, the corporate church, which is not the church of God, is completely out of order. And therefore, when we know that things are out of order, it is not of God. So therefore, the corporate church is under the headship of Satan. And you say, well, gee, Scott, that's kind of an awful... how can you... No. God is a God of order. And as Julie's going to be pointing out tomorrow night, that the Babylonian system, and I've been telling you this, so this corporate system, it has absolutely drained into today's church. We're nothing more than doing what Judaism has done. We're doing nothing more than what Catholicism has done, where we put men above God. We put men in a leadership to basically corrupt us. Because like the other pastor here that I was, you know, doing deliverance under the table and whenever I could with people that would come to me, and one of the elders would call me in. And then when I finally ended up casting a couple of demons out of a woman in his office, the buck stops here. Oops, can't do that. No, how dare you, Scott, set a woman free that's been in anxiety bondage for 30 years and then turns around and goes to California and brings her 80-some-odd-year-old mother to Christ. Now that's the power of God. That's the love of Jesus. That's the order of things. But yet, that can't be so. This was all smoke and mirrors. This was some kind of hypnosis tactic to inflict my will onto others, and that it did not take place. This is what was said. And you know what happened? The woman went back into bondage. The denial of the deliverance, because you can sell your birthright, people. And I'm telling you right now, that is exactly what you're doing by following the corporate church. Now, a lot of you who listen to this show already know this. You've already get it. You're already tired of not being convicted. Because when you do hear a sermon, when you do hear someone teach and preach and give the prophetic word, for the edification of Christ, let me just bring this out here, okay? All right, the edifying of the body of Christ. This is what the pastors, the evangelists, the teachers, the prophets, the apostles, this is for edifying of the body of Christ, a unity of faith, a knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So when you walk out of a church, do you feel edified? Do you feel convicted about what you did that week that you didn't repent of? Do you feel convicted that you did something to your spouse that you really regretted, but yet you were so proud you couldn't confess it and ask for forgiveness and extend forgiveness? Huh? Hmm? No. Because you're in a pride bondage. You're in a situation that if you lose control, if you're not in control of those around you, which you do through intimidation, which you do through lying, and ladies, okay, I'm going to be honest with you. If I go to a church or to a service, which I don't go much anymore, I see cleavage, I see breasts, you're out of order. You are dead wrong. And if you're married, your body belongs to your husband. You are openly showing the fruits of what God gave your husband to other men. You are showing yourself as a whore. You are showing yourself as someone that is not, in the eyes of God, as a sweet and gentle spirit. Because that is exactly the kind of woman that God loves. And I'll tell you what, being single, and if I go to single events and things, zowie, boy, you know, you'd think I went to a bar sometimes. Look, a woman's spirit, and I don't want to really use the word charm, because charm can be of witchcraft, but if there's a presence about a woman that is sweet and gentle, if she is... she doesn't have any gall. She doesn't have any guile. She doesn't have anything that is of a mean spirit. She doesn't have to show her body. She didn't even have to be that good looking, for that matter, for what men would consider, you know, because we all get older, right? And there's nothing more gracious than a very sweet spirit of a woman as she matures in age. And men, you know what I'm talking about. Something very, very lovely about it. And that's what we like to see, is the loveliness of a woman. We don't need to see the body, okay? Because what you're doing, ladies, okay? Now, you need to remember that pornography is off the charts, including pornography with pastors. And Paula White the other day, man, boy, you know, that's another one of those TV evangelists. See, If you give someone a gift, you know, let's say prophetic gift or anything along that line, but yet they haven't been through deliverance, you get a TV preacher. Mm-hmm. That's what you get. Well, Paula White, let me tell you, I've heard some things, some zingers come out of her mouth over the years. I can't even stand to look at her. And her husband are talking about, you know, pornography and that it's part of an education system. Excuse me? Do you know how many people I've had to do deliverance on because when they were looking at pornography, they felt a demon come right out of that screen and jump into them, and now they haven't been the same since? Do you understand what you people have done to the body of Christ? Creflo Dollar, or whatever your name is. Goodness gracious, get a real name. And then Obama. I'm just ranting here. And then Obama, okay, Mr. Horse's ass himself, and he's tearing down Christianity by reciting Deuteronomy and Leviticus as if we're supposed to continue on with slaves, if we're supposed to continue on with things. You need to remember that the Old Testament, even though it has these things in it, doesn't mean it was approved by God. Many of these are the stories of the failure, and that we're to learn from the failures, not to repeat history. And you get a horse's ass like Obama that throws it in the face of the people who have not searched the scriptures daily, who have not been Bereans, that take this as the gospel from a man who is probably a reptilian, and denying the new covenant and fulfilling of the law. because that is Christianity, Mr. Obama, not Mr. President Obama. You're no president. I didn't vote for you. In fact, the people didn't vote for you. The fouled program that ran through all of the tally machines for voting did that. You, sir, I don't even think you're completely human. So if you're not human, am I supposed to love him? If he's of his father, the devil, am I supposed to love these people? I want, you know, this is food for thought. I want you people to start understanding that when I mentioned last night that, you know, all roads lead to you know, like to Caesar, to Rome, and then out the back door to Babylon, the system that we have today is still in play. And we talk about Mystery Babylon. We, you know, in fact, Dick Cole's going to be on with me again this coming Saturday. And I apologize for last Saturday's Bible study on live stream. I'm trying to rectify the internet issue. That's what's going on. I don't have the best internet. And then after that big storm we had, you know, the high winds that came through, things just haven't been right yet. They're still working on a little bit of this and that. So hopefully we can complete that this coming. But Mystery Babylon. Okay, everyone, you know, now is convinced that it's the United States. And I'm not going to deny that, but there are some other factors that we're really not looking at. Now, if the church is truly under a Babylon system and that we are out of order and that we're teaching false doctrines and that we're keeping people in bondage and that we're doing things that are not of God, that are of Satan, in our churches, witchcraft and everything else, and denying the power of the Holy Spirit, which is blasphemous, then maybe American Christianity might be categorized as potentially Mystery Babylon. If you think about it, and I'm not saying it is, I'm just saying that it's another one, I'm throwing in the hat. Okay? I want everyone to start thinking now. That's what the church has stolen from you. Many of you are incapable of thinking anymore. You have this cognitive ceiling in your brain that, like, you go into a regular room that's, what, 8-9 feet tall in the ceiling, and you have one of those exercise trampolines. How's that working for you if you jump on that as hard as you can? You're going to hit that ceiling. Well, that is the education system, both in the schools and the church, that have formed you. They have made you. You cannot think outside the box anymore. Okay? Again, as I mentioned in Corinthians, we're to have a spiritual life with our spiritual gifts, to walk in the Spirit, to test the Spirit. But where do you hear about this in the church? And then if you go to one church that's supposedly charismatic, it's Charismaniac. And Julie's been reading the book with Tex Mars, and they're going to be doing a review on that. We don't know when that's going to take place, but as we see that not only do we have a Babylonian system, but we have full charismatic witchcraft taking place, causing everyone to become demonized with the Kundalini spirit. And for you new listeners that aren't quite sure what Kundalini is, basically falls under divination. And as I teach on divination, that is basically a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. It will cause you to do things that trick other people into thinking you have the Spirit when you don't. When in reality, it's a manifestation, usually of the spirit of fear, and that's why you're shaking. And or a disruptive, I call them crazy maker demons, where you jerk your head off to the side and you make a barking noise. Now, there's a church locally here I call the Barking Church. I was invited there and I went in, and next thing I know, the pastor's throwing his head off to the side and going, "Err! And everyone's going, "He's full of the Spirit." Yeah, he's full of spirits, all right. Exit stage right. Let's get out of here. And then these are the same people that, by the way, go to a local healing ministry over in Spokane, and I don't want to bring the name up at the moment. I've talked about it before. But you talk about an infection rate that infects others. You know, when something goes viral, that's what the Toronto blessing was. The Kundalini spirit went viral. And now we've got ministries all over the United States, especially for the teenagers and children's ministry, and even trying to cater to the singles, where some of these events that go on within a church are absolutely chaos. I see you know, manifestations all the time, right? When you see something enough, like let's say people that work in the bank and they work, you know, a teller or cash counter or whatever you call those people, some kind of accountant, then when they deal with money, they're trained to recognize money in the real state. So when they see a counterfeit, it sticks out like a sore thumb. So since I deal with demons all day long, people manifesting all day long, and I go to a church and I see one shaking and throwing their head to the side and barking, I don't even need to be an expert. I don't need to be an exorcist. I don't need to be a deliverance minister. Something's rotten in Denmark. There's trouble right here in Fulton City, people. And that's within your church. There are more demons in a church than I think there is in a witch's coven. And you think I'm crazy? All right, fine. But tomorrow, tonight, more emails, more phone calls, more people who I can trace to being infected in the church they were attending. Remember, don't be quick to lay hands on those you don't know. And I never let anyone lay hands on me or pray for me I don't know. I have refused in groups people who have wanted to pray for me and lay hands on me, and I say I back out graciously. Because somewhere in there, as you roll the dice, is someone really heavily infected with demons and probably perverse demons because they've got pornography issues. And I tell you what, I don't want that stuff. I got work to do. I don't need my mind clouded. I don't need to have lust. I don't need to have these issues of people who refuse or deny and or don't think they need to go through deliverance. And I'm dealing with that now with someone that an issue that there's an issue, meaning that someone within the group is heavily infected and that isn't being addressed properly, and I'm trying to assist in that to be addressed. Because if you are a leader, if you are one of the elders, if you are a senior, okay, it is your responsibility, like a pastor, doesn't mean you're the guy in charge, but it means you have a responsibility to guard and protect the flock. And if you don't, there will be an accountability. You, your works, whatever you were doing, are going to get burned up. Now, to deny the power of the Holy Spirit, as what took place with the Pharisees and Jesus, was the definition of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which there was no forgiveness for. Pretty serious stuff. So let's look at the other side of the coin on that. If you have somebody that is full of demons and they're manifesting and they claim that it is the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, I believe that falls into the category of blasphemy. That's some pretty serious stuff, because what you're doing by saying that you're full of the Spirit and parting it onto somebody else, like the tunnel fire, the fire tunnel, where people run through and everyone lays hands on them, ouch, that's going to leave a mark. Man, if any of you have ever done that, you need deliverance bad. Remember I talked about timeshare and transference of demons and things? You know, you may have problems that come and go after that. Maybe not full time. It's like someone who goes and commits adultery on their spouse. And now all of a sudden their spouse is acting weird. Well, you brought something home. And you transferred it to your wife or your husband. And now they got lust demons, and now they're out screwing around on you. And you're going, what happened? You know, pornography or to lust over a woman is the same thing. Jesus told us that. We're also told to take every thought captive. You know, a bird can fly over your head, but don't let it nest in your hair. Okay? So the temptations are there in the world. And believe me, I'm human. I'm a guy. You know, in fact, I was a stinker at one time. I was a bad boy. But after getting my rear end kicked a few times and having everything taken from me that was near and dear to me, I finally woke up. I realized Satan really wants to hurt me. Satan really wants to kill me. So who am I going to serve? Why would I give Satan a legal right to destroy me? This is where obedience comes in. This is where rejecting sin, repenting, bringing yourself approved unto God, that you have done those things commanded by Jesus Christ. All right, because a church, believe me, most churches, and I want you to listen to me, I'm seeing now that there's a curse of Zionism. And what this does is it causes people to sell their birthright, that they put Israel before Jesus, that they put the Jews before Jesus. And we see in Revelation, they say they're Jews, they are not, they are the synagogue of Satan. People, you need to understand that those who call themselves Jews are not. Now, is there a true bloodline? Yes. And Julie will talk more about that Wednesday night. And the other thing about the curse of Zionism, if you're supporting those who are wicked, that are calling themselves Jews, those are the very people who are persecuting the true bloodline of Abraham. And if you curse those, okay, you want to pull that verse out? You want to beat us over the head with that? Then let me turn it back on you. It's reciprocal. Okay? See, this is what this conviction thing's all about. It's for us to go, oh man, was I doing that? Ouch. Lord, I'm sorry. I see the truth now. I realize I've been eating meat sacrificed to idols. I'm not going to do it anymore. Now, what I have found with those in the church, you're unable to deal with spiritual issues. You're powerless. You're under generational curses. Again, under that curse potentially of the Zionism. But you're also under curses from witches' covens, from witches themselves and Satanists that have been infiltrating the church and bringing down the hammer by putting blocking spirits, by causing people to believe in things through the spirit of witchcraft that keeps you from seeing the truth. Now, I want you to understand, praise God for Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is weeping. He sees what's happening to his people that he gave himself to. He cried over those Jews, over the Hebrews. And we see in Revelation that it's not going to go well for them. There will be a remnant that will come out. But the destruction upon this planet is so horrific. And we did it to ourselves. See, Satan is powerless unless we give him a right. And that right comes through sin. And look what happened to us in the garden. We had it all. You know, you need to understand, everyone can say that the Garden of Eden is here and so forth, and it's in the 1040 zone and all this other stuff. That may be, but what it was the porthole, was the Stargate. It was a spiritual realm, and the expulsion of the garden went from spiritual into the physical. Because when Adam and Eve had to step onto solid ground, they became as death. And by the way, they became terminal. They no longer were going to live forever in their physical bodies. Now, they lived a long time. Man, could you imagine living that long? I know David Rockefeller's shooting for it. He's on his sixth heart. Hey, David, you got a zipper on your chest? Holy cow. They got to split you open that many times? And by the way, are you so mean and nasty that a new heart, you tire it out, you wear it out, you kill it? Six of them? And again, the question is, where'd that heart come from? And again, if anyone's listening that happens to know that it was their relative, God bless you. You know? I would have liked to have seen it gone into a child that needed it. I would have liked to have seen it gone into a mother who loves Christ that would have been leaving five kids behind, needed it. Instead of some slime bag like Rockefeller, who, by the way, considers us all bastards, all ignorantly stupid. And when we look at the curse of those things upon the church, then I guess he's right. I mean, how do you deny that? I mean, here we are ready for horse's ass Obama to bring in mercenaries, to bring in the blue helmets, to bring in the Spetsnaz, to bring in the Chinese, to bring in those people who are willing to kill Americans, who are willing to rape and pillage the very people that have their boots on the ground here. Look, the life as we know it is about to end. When we see Queen Elizabeth, when we see David Rockefeller, when we see those and the supposable leaders of Christianity going, watch out, last Christmas, it's coming, you get what you deserve, that's some big stuff. We need to sit up out of bed in the middle of the night and go, oh, someone just broke in. Boy, there's nothing worse than coming home and finding out someone's broke into your house, violates you. Even in your car, and I've talked about that before, you feel dirty, don't you? And by the way, you know, women that have been violated, God bless you. I'm so sorry. You know? But it's a representation of the evil that's within the world. And you know, God loves you. But wait a minute. The Muslims. The Muslims, if your wife or your daughter is raped, did you know that in their law you can kill them? And they do that? You know, the difference between this Babylonian system that has come all the way down as Muslims and come all the way down as Judaism, Zionism, Catholicism, and now I'm beginning to see that it's actually the basis of the American Christian church, that Jesus was a savior of women, that even Mary, who was a prostitute, who was a whore, was loved and brought out of the muck and the mire. She was made clean again. She was made whole again. But when you look at the Muslims, what do? Obviously, that comes from Satan. The black and the white, right? Wow. I mean, how heavy, what's the matter with everybody? How is it that we do not come together and pray corporately against what Obama's doing, against those people, the New World Order, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Bilderbergers, the Zionists, those people that wish to destroy this country? Oh, that's because you think you're going to get out of here. Oh, I see. Oh, predestination. Oh, I see. Oh, wealth? Oh, I see. So you're going to be able to buy your way out because you've been ordained to be wealthy? Really? Do you see how ridiculous the lie is? Do you see how stupid it is? Stupidity. You know, Nimrod. You know, that used to, when I was a kid growing up, that was a term you referred to somebody who was stupid. And Julie's going to talk about that on Wednesday. You know, you Nimrod. Whew. Men, look, we have a responsibility. And that's to get our act together, to submit ourselves to Christ, to become bondservants, to become a fivefold ministry in our home. Because we are the spiritual leader of our family. And if the church had been in order, if the infiltration into the seminaries that took place with the Zionist system of the of those things that that have been teaching doctrines of demons to be brought into the church, just same thing with Catholicism, same thing. And, you know, we're a mirror of it. That if it had been done properly, that if the Word of God had been brought out by the fivefold, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, as a whole, to be there, to anoint, to lay hands on the sick, to preach the gospel correctly, as it is in the Bible, and not a doctrine of demons, which basically trickles down out of the mouths of men, then we would not be where we are. God's plan was for none of us to perish. But because we have been out of order, we have not been doing the true commission of Jesus Christ. And any church that tries to teach dispensation, that tries to deny the covenant doctrine. Now, they call it that. I don't want to call it how about we just call it the Word of God? Okay? How about we just call it the Word of God? The new covenant, fulfilling the law. Isaiah 61 prophesied that Jesus would be healing the sick and setting the captives free. And I've mentioned that to some elders of the church, and they go, but that's, you know, there were several hundred years between. That's why they call it prophecy. What's the matter with you people? I you know, talking to the dead church, you know, I can remember when I did search and rescue, I was a man tracker. I loved it. I really did. And the camaraderie that I had with my fellow trackers was amazing, because when we would go out into the deserts, and we're talking, you know, you're prepared, because when you go into a real, you know, like the deserts of Arizona and California and New Mexico and all through there, when you're out there, and it's 110 degrees outside, and you're not prepared correctly, you may not be coming back. You may be they may have to make another team come after you. So what we would do is we would prepare to make sure that we did not fall victim, and that we would fulfill our mission to find the person who was lost and or bad guy. Once in a while there'd be a bad guy. They would seek refuge after killing somebody or robbing a bank or whatever the deal was. And that we had to know what we were doing. We had to go out with our heads on straight, plenty of water, radio communication, first aid kits, proper footwear, to combat against the elements that are there to potentially take our lives from us. And our goal was to find the victim in time before death, stabilize them, get them, you know, set up an LZ for a helicopter, and get them out to you know, trauma care. Well, that's the church. Evangelists are man trackers. They're going out and finding the lost. teachers are the instructors that teach the man trackers what they should do. And what's a pastor? Well, how about we call that the command post, the guy who's in charge? Some of it call it incident command. And by the way, I have that certification with the National Association of Search and Rescue. They call it managing a search function. Okay? And then prophets. Well, now you have the people who are sitting and running the computers to do a profile on the individual. By the way, I don't know whether you knew that or not. That's actually a big part of finding people now today. You know, San Bernardino was, you know, been in the news, but San Bernardino was very instrumental in putting together the software and the probability of what a person will do. If you're 5 years old and you're lost, you're going to act differently than someone who's 20. If you're a hunter, you'll act differently than a woman who doesn't hunt. Do you know what I mean? So there's a probability. And these softwares, there's a number role. Will you go left? Will you go right? Will you go up a hill? Will you go down? Will you if you find a road, will you take the road? Will you not? Will you go down a ravine? Will you take a wash? See, all these factors. This is what a prophetic individual does. Probability. What do we need to do to assess the situation? Okay? So instead of having a dead church, we should have an emergency task force capable at a moment's notice to go out and cast out demons, to heal the sick, to set the captives free, to restore sight to the blind, to have the lame walk, to teach and make disciples of all men. We're not doing that. Instead, we're sitting around. It's kind of like, unfortunately, one of the reasons that people are lost and perish in the desert is that when someone is lost, family members usually try and find the person first, and we get that, right? But in reality, if they had immediately called the sheriff's office, which usually has the teams for this, the probability of them being found alive would have been higher. But instead of family, waste 1 or 2 hours, which is precious time when you're trying to find somebody. And so in reality, what we're doing is we're now trying to go around and put our fingers in the dike that's leaking. And instead of calling in the big boys, and that's the people who are the true men and women of God, pastors, step down. You have brought us to the pits of hell. You have caused your people to come into bondage. My fourth book was to be entitled Let My People Go. I've been adding a little bit here and there. I don't know if I'm going to finish it in time. I got sidetracked with this ministry exploded, you know, and doing all the deliverances and everything else. But Let My People Go. Pastors, you have kept us in bondage long enough. It is time for the trackers. It is time for the search and rescue. It is time for the professionals, men and women in Christ who truly are bondservants, to take the sword of the Spirit and charge forward and to save this country. It's time for all good Christians to come to the aid of their faith. It is that plain and simple. Well, I only had an hour. I've got so much more I wanted to do, and I'm sorry. I need to go and cast a demon out of a cat. So pray for me, because it's a biter, right? You know, I don't like biting cats. I love cats, but when they bite, you know how that works. All right, God bless everyone, and please tune in tomorrow night for Julie. I'm just going to basically turn it over to her, because she's got all this information on Babylon all the way through to today. And when you hear what's really going on in the order of things, you'll completely understand why we're in the shape we're in. And when the light bulb goes off, you'll be able to turn your hearts to Jesus even further, because you do not want Jesus saying, "Away from me, I did not know you." That's a terrible thing to hear. And that's what's going to happen to a lot of people, because you're lukewarm and he will spew you out of his mouth. And that is no place to be. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your Son, and thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, as we move forward, guide us and direct us to your will, so we may be obedient. May we do those things that you've commanded us to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, so tomorrow night, I don't think we're going to be doing Friday, but we'll see. But we certainly will be doing Saturday with Dick Cole. All right, God bless and good night.